Hi, I'm Jane Lindholm. I'm the host of Vermont Edition, and I just wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. It's human nature to want to feel of use, and it's difficult to know what to do right now, what you can do, and where there's need. We've talked in past shows about some of the medical need, and if you have medical equipment to donate, that is definitely a high priority. But in this hour, we're going to talk about other kinds of needs and how you can help. We'll be talking with representatives from the Diaper Bank, the Red Cross, the Breast Milk Donation Center, and more. If you have a need, or if you're running an organization that needs volunteers or supplies or money, let us know your needs or what you're doing. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. You can also post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.org. And if you have a need that you personally have or you're seeing that is not being met in your community, we'd like to hear about that as well. Maybe we can help connect people who have needs with people who have the ability to help. And maybe you're doing some helpful things in some ways and have needs in other ways. Again, our number, 1-800-639-2211. Joining us first today is John Sales, CEO of the Vermont Food Bank. John oversees donations of food and funds to 215 food shelves and meal sites across Vermont. John, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thanks, Jane. I appreciate being on.
Can you talk about what your baseline need is for food and items and how you serve clients? And then we can talk about what's different right now.
Sure. If we were talking, you know, a couple of months ago, I'd be talking about those 215 partners that you talked about, the food shelves and meal sites in everyone's community. And they are part of and you know, they are integral to the community. And most of them get, you know, half to two-thirds maybe of their food from the Vermont Food Bank. We're a statewide organization. We have facilities in Barrie and Rutland and in Brattleboro. And not only distribute food to food shelves and meal sites, but also do direct distribution, mostly of produce, through our Veggie Van Gogh program. So, in the last couple of years, we've distributed close to 1 million pounds a month of food, going all over the state in every county and every community. We've seen a tremendous spike, anywhere from 30, 50 to 100% increase in demand. And a lot of people coming to food distributions and going to food shelves who have never been there before, people who are losing their jobs and losing income or losing hours.
John, that's amazing. 50 to 100% increase in people coming in to get food just in the last few weeks.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, everyone's talking about the surge. And I think, you know, unemployment numbers are coming out. And I think we're going to continue to see a surge. You know, the first couple of weeks, some people have a little bit of savings. And I know, you know, rent is coming due. It's the first of the month, utility bills. So I think folks are going to start feeling more strapped. And, you know, first thing I want to encourage people, if you need help, go out and get help, please. You know, I think we need to bust the stigma of asking for help in the state and across the country. You can go to our website, vpfoodbank.org, and there's a big button on the front page that says get help. If you can give help, there's a give help button too.
Well, what about that give help part? What are you looking for, and are you finding creative ways to get it right now?
Yeah, you know, number one is, you know, we are a private nonprofit organization and funded by the people in Vermont. And so we need financial donations. We've, in response to what's happening to the COVID virus, we've spent in the last 2 weeks close to $500,000 on extra food, on supplies, on we made cash grants to about 170 of our network partners, you know, who are struggling as much as we are. Also buying Vermont-grown produce. For, you know, there's growers out there that the restaurants are closed down. They don't have a market for their produce any longer. You know, we also, you know, we need people to get the work done. It's getting more complicated with the virus. So we're working through how to best use volunteer resources. And I'm so pleased that the governor has stood up a clearinghouse website, and I really encourage people. I believe it's vermont.gov/volunteer, and people can go and put in their, you know, what they have to offer. They can also, on the Give Help at the Vermont Food Bank, connect with our volunteer coordinator.
We'll put a link to that, and we do have a link to the Vermont Food Bank as well up at vpr.org if you click on Vermont Edition. John, you mentioned that one of the things that you're trying to do is work with local food producers, farmers, and I imagine also maybe dairy producers who don't have as much of a market right now. Is that a way for them to donate food, or are you helping to also support local producers who are really struggling?
Yeah, it's both. It's both. We're always looking for donations because that, you know, that donated food gets moved quickly for free to all of our network partners who can then distribute it to our neighbors all across the state. But we, you know, as I said, we've committed an additional, we're always buying food both locally and from out of state, but we've committed an additional $75,000 now to Vermont grown produce. And, you know, the growing season is just starting, but it is starting. Farmers have their greenhouses up and there's spinach coming in and starts are planting, and you're going to be talking about gardening soon. So it is that time.
Yes, we are. Can you talk a little bit about that situation with volunteers and changes that you're making to food distribution? Because, you know, often people come to a food shelf and they go in and they can choose their food, often in the same way you would in any other kind of grocery store. But I imagine that's not quite working the same way right now.
It is certainly not. We're, you know, as I say, we're changing our business model on the fly. So, you know, it's going to a food shelf can be hard. And it's more dignified when you can go in and shop like you would at a small corner store. Food on the shelves, and you can take what you want and what you need. We just can't do that anymore. So everything is moving to a grab-and-go. Our food shelf partners are pre-packing bags and boxes and leaving them out, or people can call and schedule a pickup. The food bank's own distributions, where we're pre-packing everything and mostly just doing grab-and-goes through cars driving up, which is happening all across the country. So, you know, reducing contact is what it's all about right now. And we're doing everything we can to make sure that we're reducing the chance for virus transmission and making sure that people get the food that they need.
John, one more comment on that. I know you wanted to highlight it, so let's highlight it again. If people find that they need food, what do they need to do to be able to get it? Do they have to fill out paperwork? Can they just go to their local food shelf and get food?
So all the different food shelves can have different systems. So some may want you to register. I think right now those systems are largely being put aside. If you go to a food bank food distribution, there will never be a question asked. If you show up and say you want food and need food, you will get food. I would encourage people to, you can go to vtfoodbank.org. You can also call 211, and 211 has an up-to-date listing of all the food shelves in the state of Vermont and other places where people can access food for free. I also very much encourage people who may be out of a job or have lost a lot of income to consider Three Squares Vermont, which is also known as food stamps. The eligibility requirements for needing the need to work have been relaxed. And in Vermont, if you're 185% of the federal poverty level eligible, people should take advantage of that right now if they can. It gives them the opportunity to go to the grocery store and purchase the food that they want and need.
John, before we let you go, let's take a call here from Chris, who's with us in Middlesex. Chris, hi. You have a question or a thought?
I do. I just got off the phone with a friend of mine who has a farm in Holland. He actually sent me pictures. They're currently dumping raw fluid milk into manure pits because they have nowhere to send it. And it seems unconscionable for me, first of all, because I love dairy so much. And I just want to know, first of all, you just said there's a huge influx of people needing food, and we're dumping food into manure pits. How can we solve this problem?
Yeah, Chris, thanks for the call and the question. John, what do you think?
Yeah, that's an important question and also, unfortunately, a complicated one. We are in contact with the folks at what used to be the St. Albans Co-op Creamery and is now Dairy Farmers of America and others. The food bank can't handle raw milk. Obviously, it needs to be pasteurized and processed and packaged. And I hate to say that in these times, but there are Byzantine federal regulations about who can buy milk at what price and where. And milk dumping has been happening over the years. We are trying to figure out, and have been for quite a while, how we can get access to some of that milk. And this will probably put a fire under some people, so I'll be making some calls today.
Well, John Sales, CEO of the Vermont Food Bank, thank you very much for talking with us about your need and what you're doing to help serve the community and people who maybe now for the first time are finding themselves really in need of some food. Thank you.
You're welcome, Jane, and thanks to VPR for the public service of letting people know what's available out there.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks to everybody who is sharing thoughts so far about what you're doing and the needs that you're seeing. We'd love to connect some people with needs to some people with resources. And sometimes, again, that's all of us at the same time having some ability to provide resources in some areas and some needs in others. You can call 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211 with your questions or comments, or post them on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.org and connect with others there. Let's go to Jim, who's calling in from Brattleboro. Hi, Jim.
Hi. So I have a question. My wife and I are concerned, like everyone else is, about making sure children are getting food, and especially on weekends when the schools, I don't believe, are going to continue to be able to give the kids food. So I run Cherry Rail Farm in Brattleboro, and we're going to take about 600 pounds of breakfast sausage and trying to acquire the other resources so that we can give out on weekends starting in the 1st of May free breakfast sausages for kids and their families. And like I said, my wife and I are going to donate the sausage, and then we're going to go out and buy the eggs. I'm trying to find sliced American cheese. And I don't want wonderful Vermont cheddar cheese. I just need, sliced American cheese. And I'm running out of avenues to even ask for donations. And I was wondering if anyone had any ideas on where I can get. We figure with the amount of sausage we're going to donate, we will be able to produce about 3,500 sandwiches over the course of May and June to give out. So I need about that much amount of cheese.
Wow, Jim, thanks for that. Thanks for sharing your need. So listeners, Jim is looking for sliced American cheese. Jim, would you take thin slices of other kinds of cheese as well, or are you really just looking for sliced American cheese?
Well, it's got to be something that would melt easily on the sandwiches, because we're going to have English muffins and eggs and sausage and what would taste good on it, but also is meltable. And a lot of times cheddar isn't real meltable. So I don't know. I'm not an expert on it, but I think we would take what we can get and just try to get these kids some good, nutritious food.
All right. So if you have a way to help out Jim or a suggestion for him, Jim, stay on the line for a second. We're going to try to get your contact information so we can make sure that people who get in touch with us have a way to get in touch with you, or we can put you in touch with them. Jim is trying to make breakfast sandwiches for kids through May and June. He's got the sausage taken care of and looking for a way to find enough cheese. You can call 1-800-639-2211. with your questions or comments about need. And better yet, if you're looking to help Jim, why don't you send an email to vermontedition@vpr.org. We're talking about needs and how to fill them today. And joining us is Amanda Hertzberger, chair of the Diaper Bank program started by the Junior League of Champlain Valley. Hi, Amanda. Nice to talk with you.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there and glad to be able to talk to people who are providing help to our community. You and I spoke when you were just starting the Diaper Bank. Right yeah. now, what are you seeing in terms of need for people who have a need to have diapers?
Yeah, we've seen a huge increase in our need. In just the past 3 weeks alone, we've distributed over 65,000 diapers, which is an over 50% increase. And just to put that in perspective, last year we distributed 100,000 diapers the whole year. So it's just a huge need. We continue to serve our sort of traditional food shelf partners. We work with 9 food shelves, but we've had a number of other agencies that have contacted us. And thankfully, because of a large donation from the National Diaper Bank Network and Huggies, we've been able to fulfill those needs so far, but we're starting to see some sizes go out of stock and some, some bare shelves. So it's we anticipate the need continuing for the next few weeks and perhaps months as well.
Yeah, so if you have more need for diapers and you're already starting to see some sizes running out, how can people help? Do you need donations of diapers? Do you need donations of money?
Yeah, both would be great. We cash donations can be made through our website, and that does allow us to buy exactly what we need and also take advantage of bulk buying and prices, that are better. But we also do have an Amazon wish list, and right now we're in need of sizes 4 and larger. We're okay on the smaller sizes, but we find that the highest demand is for those larger sizes.
Okay, so you're looking for sizes 4 and larger, as well as monetary donations if possible.
Correct, yeah, and we do, we haven't had as much stock of pull-ups, but we also do accept pull-ups, and our partners love those.
I bet. Amanda, how have you changed your operations? Because, obviously we all have stay home orders, but also you want to make sure that you're being safe in handling donations and in getting them out to people.
Sure. Yeah. Typically we repackage diapers into bundles of 25. And during this crisis, we have not been doing that. We've just been giving the diaper boxes straight to the partners and letting them handle the distribution, hoping that that will minimize the contact. We're wearing gloves. We're washing our hands a lot. We're wiping things down. So we're just really trying to be as safe as possible, both for our volunteers, we're entirely volunteer run, and also for our agencies. And we're also limiting the number of people. So instead of 4 or 5 of us gathering at the bank to pull the diapers for an order, it might be just one of us. And then similarly, one person meeting the agency to hand off the diapers.
Amanda, talk a little bit about the idea of, what it feels like to be able to be helpful. Because as I said, for many of us, we have certain needs that maybe aren't being met and we are going to rely on some help. And then in other ways, we have the ability to do things and to be both reliant and to allow other people to rely on you is a weird feeling. But, being able to help, I think, brings a lot of joy to many people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that diaper need is something that not a lot of people think about. And the studies show that 1 in 3 families struggle in general to provide enough diapers to keep their children clean, dry, and healthy. But given this crisis and the loss of jobs, the shelter in place orders, there's so many more families turning to, the food shelf, as John was saying, or diaper banks. And it's nice to know that we're able to help, but it's also, sad to see so much more need and so many families struggling to, keep their children in diapers, because that's a really basic necessity that, a lot of people thankfully don't have to consider, but it's a huge need. And so we're just doing as much as we can. And we've had diaper banks or agencies as far as Brattleboro contacting us, because there's just, we're by far the largest diaper bank in Vermont, and there's some small programs kind of scattered around the state, but it really, there's just a huge need regularly. And then obviously with all the considerations with this COVID crisis, it's just skyrocketed.
That's Amanda Hertzberger, chair of the Diaper Bank program for the Junior League of Champlain Valley. Amanda, thanks. Nice to talk with you today.
All right. Thank you, Jane.
And let's go to Ellen, who's with us from Barry. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I wanted to let people know about one of the many mutual aid efforts that's happening, and they're happening all across Vermont. But Barry, both Barrytown, Barry City, now has a website called Barry Mutual Aid, And you can find that just by Googling Berry Mutual Aid. We're working on the neighbor level. So we're working hand in hand with organizations and agencies and sort of referring people back when they need something bigger. But on a neighbor level, when somebody needs, they're not feeling well or they're older or for some reason they need somebody to go.
Oh, I think I lost Ellen there.
Did you?
You're listening to Vermont Edition on VPR. Good afternoon. Some technical difficulties. We're working those things out. We'll be right back with you in just one moment. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for bearing with us through the technological challenges. This is all new to us as we try to work through our technological challenges to keep you broadcasting here, and as we work with you to figure out what the needs are in Vermont communities. We're kind of doing a banks show today. The food bank, the diaper bank, the milk bank is coming up. And now first, let's talk with the blood bank. Kevin Mazuzin is executive director of the American Red Cross Vermont. Hi, Kevin. Thank you for being with us. All right. Well, we're trying to get Kevin back. Let's see if we can get back to Ellen, who's with us from Barrie. I think we have Ellen still locked in. Let me see if you're there, Ellen, and we can talk with you about what you're doing.
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, finally. Thank you. You're helping us technologically as well as doing, neighbor-to-neighbor helping in Barrie.
It's all part of it, isn't it?
It sure is these days.
I wanted to tell people about Barrie Mutual Aid, which is one of the many, many mutual aid groups that sprung up across Vermont in the wake of this. And we work on the neighbor level. We're working, helping match people who express a need with people who volunteer. And we're not doing the bigger things like diaper banks and food banks, but we are referring out to those when we need to. But we feel like there are so many resources that we all have just in our homes, in our skills, that we can help each other and become a more interdependent community. So we have a website, Barrie Mutual Aid. We also have a Facebook page for announcements. But you can go to that page and sign up to volunteer or request something that you need.
Well, that's a wonderful thing. I'm glad to hear about that, Ellen. Thank you so much for letting us know, because it is a way for people to be able to help out others in need and maybe help out in a smaller scale, just community member to community member. So we'll try to post that as well on vpr.org. Let's see if we have here Kevin Mazuzin. Kevin, are you back with us?
Yeah, Jane, I'm back.
Oh, fabulous. So Kevin is the executive director of the American Red Cross Vermont. And Kevin, I'd love to know a little bit about the need you have right now for blood.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. So as I was saying earlier, more than 17,000 people in Vermont donated more than 30,000 units of blood in 2019. Unfortunately, the Northern New England region has had to cancel 415 of our blood drives, resulting in 12,000 fewer donations. So the amount of blood that we have on the shelves is really at a critical state at this point. You know, I'd like to thank the many who have given blood and scheduled upcoming appointments. The American Red Cross has been able to meet the immediate need of patient needs by those donors coming in. But during this uncertain time, we're encouraging individuals to keep scheduled blood donation appointments and to make new blood donation appointments for the weeks ahead to ensure that we have a stable supply throughout this pandemic.
Yeah, you said you canceled a whole bunch of blood drives, which makes sense. But how can people donate blood now? I mean, we all have stay home orders. So is giving blood considered essential travel?
You know, it is. We worked closely with the governor's office to make sure that we had everything in place in order for us to continue with our blood drives. Blood donations are essential to ensuring the health of the community, and the Red Cross must continue to collect that life-saving blood in order to ensure that we do not face another public health crisis. Blood drives are not considered mass gatherings, as these are controlled events where trained staff and appropriate safety measures and protected precautions are put in place for donors and recipients. Much like a hospital, going to the grocery store, or the pharmacy, a blood drive is essential in assuring the health of the community.
Oh, Kevin, I'm losing you a little bit. I don't know if we're losing you on the show, but I'm losing a little bit of what you're saying here, so maybe we'll come back to our landline call.
You're listening to Vermont Edition on VPR. Thanks so much for bearing with us through these technical difficulties as we're all working from home studios. We appreciate your patience. We'll get right back to the program with Jane Lindholm in just a moment.
Kevin, tell us a little bit again about how people can do that, given all of the restrictions on movement right now.
Yeah, well, the best thing for folks to do is to simply make an appointment to go to one of the existing blood drives. And we're asking folks to make those appointments so that we can really help protect each other from this virus by making sure that people are socially distancing themselves. You know, we want to emphasize that each blood drive and donation center, Red Cross employees, are already following the highest standards of safety and infection control. The Red Cross has also implemented additional precautions to ensure the safety of our donors and staff during this outbreak.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting because I think people would worry about how do I give blood, how do I stay safe, but how do I make sure others are staying safe? How do you make sure the blood is safe?
Well, we know for a fact that respiratory illnesses are not transmitted through either giving blood or receiving a blood donation.
Okay, so there's nothing extra sort of necessitated by giving blood right now because of the COVID crisis.
Correct. So in order for us to make sure that our clients and our donors are safe, we've implemented some additional procedures as per CDC recommendations. But again, donating blood or receiving a blood transfusion does not transmit COVID-19.
While we're talking with you here, let's go to Leonardo, who's calling in from Williston. Hi, Leonardo. Go right ahead.
Hey, I was just calling about some of the restrictions that are on. I don't really know what they are. I know that as a gay male that I've been denied in the past from donating blood. I didn't know if that was still in effect because I would like to go, but I don't know if it's even worth trying.
Yeah, Leonardo, thanks for that. Kevin, what about this possibility of donating blood here? You know, oops, it looks like we lost Kevin. Leonardo, you know, I understand what you're saying here, and this has been a long-standing problem with people who are gay, men who have had sex with men who are not allowed to donate blood. And you know, I wonder, too, as well at this time, if there are ways to change some of the restrictions that have been in place. So we'll make sure that Kevin gets that note from you on, you know, what is and what is not available in terms of donating blood and what you would like to see happen. Amy Wenger is a registered nurse and co-founder and executive director of the Vermont Donor Milk Center in Essex Junction. Amy, I'm with us now. It's nice to talk with you again.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm hanging in there and glad to know our listeners are as well. Tell us a little bit about what the demand is like right now for donor breast milk.
Yes, yeah, so we are seeing an uptick in families who are wanting donor pasteurized donor breast milk from the Vermont Donor Milk Center, and because babies are still being born, and with, you know, the limitations and people really kind of not seeing their doctors as often or seeing them via telehealth and needing possible supplementation due to a medical need, whatever that might be on the mom or the baby side of it, that they are turning to the pasteurized donor breast milk so that we can really try to cultivate breastfeeding through this time.
Yeah, I mean, what a stressful time to be having a baby, and what a stressful time if your baby has needs that you didn't anticipate, or you are not able to do the things that you anticipated being able to do with a new baby at this time. I can only imagine, and really my heart goes out to people with new babies and the stress that that entails. So you are seeing the need up, though, from where it normally might be?
We are definitely seeing an uptick of people asking for donor breast milk and asking it for a longer term than, you know, just our normal bridge time because they don't want to be leaving their home as much. That the what ifs are, you know, kind of coming out as, you know, well, what if I need this for longer, maybe, you know, getting a prescription that will facilitate that time and need because they don't really know what's going to be coming down the pike. And also there's a lot of fear out there if they become positive with COVID, what could happen to them and their breast milk supply. And so there's a lot of education and a lot of referring to IBCLCs in the area, that in their area, that we have been kind of referring to so that people can get really good education around everything that's going on and get really good supports as needed.
So one of the questions that we were just asking about the American Red Cross and blood donation is blood still safe if it's been donated from somebody who, for example, had COVID-19 and didn't know about it? And Kevin was telling us that absolutely it's still safe. The procedures that have been put in place to make sure blood is safe would apply to COVID-19 as well. What about for breast milk?
Right. That's a very good question. So the CDC says, at this point in time that the limited studies that they've had on women's breast milk with COVID-19 and other coronaviruses, like SARS and, coronavirus in itself is the second leading cause of the common cold. COVID-19 is the novel one. So the virus has not been detected in breast milk. However, they don't know whether or not mothers with COVID-19 can still transmit it. So kind of turning back to Human Milk Banking of North America, which oversees all of the milk banks in the United States and I believe in Canada as well, their statement is that, research specific to COVID-19 is still emerging and is current as the outbreak evolved. However, that everything, because it's such a new virus, the data is still limited, but the characteristics are similar to other viruses such as SARS and MERS, which is the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. And what they found is that the genetically similar viruses, specifically to heat treatment of 60 degrees Celsius for 30 minutes, kills the virus. And so all donor milk that's dispensed by a Human Milk Banking of North America member bank undergo that same heat treatment, even a little bit higher, using the Holder pasteurization method for 30 minutes. So, and then it gets tested and retested for any kind of, bacteriologic properties and any kind of other HIV and, everything that it would normally get tested for. But so far there really has not been any virus found in any samples of breast milk at this point in time.
So that's good to know. The milk is still safe and there's still being tests done to make sure of that. How are you getting milk to people who need it?
So we're still doing it kind of business as usual. Breast milk and lactation supports are still considered essential. Both Rachel Fox and I are registered nurses, so, we are definitely out there as essential workers. We are screening every family who comes to the center for COVID symptoms. And then we're practicing social distancing when we are dispensing the breast milk to them, meaning that they are staying, within a certain area of our space. And we are pretty much able to do everything without having to, get everything we need done without having to touch anything at this point. Technology is an amazing thing. So we are really able to get the milk to everybody who needs it at this time. And we will make deliveries if we are finding that people cannot leave their homes. And we'll even deliver to places that are kind of outside of our realm if need be. And because we know that this is really important, but we also are following that up with what kind of other resources can we give you in your community to help make breastfeeding as successful as possible to help you reach your goals.
So we've been asking other people on the show as well today, what do you need in terms of what others can volunteer right now to help?
Yeah, so right now what we're needing is, we are getting an uptick in families who really want donor milk or to have donor milk available to them because their baby has a need. And, you know, that means coming from all different kinds of economic backgrounds. And so we are finding that our ability to subsidize is starting to get really stretched. And what we don't want to have to ever say to anybody is that we can't help you right now because you can't afford it. So what we've been really doing is really just trying to hone in on what we can. So we're really asking for monetary donations through our website to be able to help subsidize the milk for everybody across the board and make it as affordable as possible so that everybody can have the opportunity to have this type of nutrition and service.
That's Amy Wenger, a registered nurse and co-founder and executive director of the Vermont Donor Milk Center in Essex Junction. And we'll put a link up at vpr.org on today's Vermont Edition show page if you have the ability to help the Donor Milk Center. Amy, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jane. It was a pleasure.
Let's go to Benjamin, who's on the line with us from Stowe. Hi, Benjamin. Go right ahead.
Hi. My name is Benji Adler. I'm with the Skinny Pancake. We shut down all of our operations last week and have been focusing all of our capacity, which is a big commissary, delivery vehicles, and our team on free food distribution. We are working with the Vermont Community Foundation, with the High Meadows Fund. We're working in collaboration with the food bank. We're doing the program is called Shift Meals. We are doing direct distribution every Tuesday and every Friday. This Friday is in Burlington and Montpelier. Next week, we will be expanding to Waterbury. These are whole meals. We are reaching out to trying to expand this to other parts of the state actively. Right now, we have some really good funding coming in. We have individuals can donate through a GoFundMe page, but there's also some real big dollars coming through. So just want to make sure that everyone knows that that's out there.
And how can people help, Benji?
Well, first of all, anyone in need who has food insecurity can get a meal any Tuesday or Friday, starting this Friday in Montpelier and Burlington, and next week on Tuesday and Friday in Burlington, Montpelier, and Waterbury. So that's on the need side. You can see sign-up sheets online on our Facebook pages, on the Burlington page and our Montpelier Facebook page. That's the Skinny Pancakes Facebook page. And then if you are on the help side, you can make a donation to we have a GoFundMe page up, which is also, you know, on social media. If you're a restaurant and you want to participate, encourage you to reach out to us. It looks like there will be room for additional support.
All right, we'll put that up on our website as well. That's Benji Adler from the Skinny Pancake. The Skinny Pancake is a VPR underwriter. Benji, thanks for calling.
Yeah, sure. Take care.
And let's go to Jennifer in Haverhill, New Hampshire. Hi, Jennifer. Nice to talk with you today.
Nice to speak with you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Yeah, what need are you aiming to fill or get filled?
Well, we're here at Thompson Farm and Sanctuary over in Haverhill, and one of the big needs that we're seeing is people are starting to have to make big decisions about their large animals. And I wanted to urge people that if they're having a difficult time feeding their animals, to please reach out to their local grain stores, reach out to their sanctuaries and their rescues. And, of course, if people can contribute to any of those organizations, to hay and grain funds for animals or to the rescues or sanctuaries. Of course, adoptions are down for rescues at this time. The donations are down. And a lot of the local animal lovers, pardon the dogs, are finding themselves in a tricky situation. For example, the lesson barns who host children to learn how to ride, and there's no income coming in. And each of these horses costs, you know, $400, $500, $600 a month to support, and there's 10 of them. Then they start having to place their animals at a time when no one is buying them.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good point. Jennifer, thank you for mentioning that. You know, for people who need to feed their animals and can't, there are resources. And for those who maybe have extra, you can donate to your area rescue or your area large animal helping organization. That's Jennifer. Thank you very much as well. We hear that the Humane Society has pet food shelves for people who are trying to feed their pets, so that may be an option for you as well. You just need to figure out from their websites, if possible, or by calling and maybe getting a voicemail, when you can go and how you can still practice social distancing. Erica Marks is Director of Volunteer Services at AgeWell, one of Vermont's area agencies on AgeWell. AgeWell works with the aging population in northwestern Vermont, and Erica's work includes recruiting, training, and scheduling the Meals on Wheels volunteers, delivering meals to aging Vermonters in Chittenden, Addison, Grand Isle, and Franklin counties. Erica, it's nice to talk with you.
Thank you so much.
I understand you've seen the effect of COVID-19 on your ability to keep your volunteers safe and doing their routes. How much have you seen your volunteer base drop?
So that is a great question. We have had 102 of our volunteers who are no longer able to deliver right now, because most of our volunteers are 60 or older. Many of them fall in the category of being at risk themselves or having other family members who are at risk.
Yeah, I mean, what a tricky thing. You have people who are in need and at risk, and then your volunteers are often at risk. So are you recruiting new volunteers?
So we've been recruiting like crazy, and the community has stepped up incredibly. We've had 200 new volunteers contact us to say that they are willing to step in and help, which is fantastic, because at the same time, we've seen a 27% increase in the number of people who are needing Meals on Wheels. So while our volunteers were dropping off, the need for Meals on Wheels was growing. And so this influx of 200 volunteers is fantastic. And many of them, 119 of those, are under the age of 60, which is just fantastic.
Oh, that's wonderful. But do you still need more? I mean, are you worried
so
about
the need? In particular areas. So Burlington, we still need volunteers to help in Burlington. We need volunteers in Grand Isle. Our snowbirds are not back, and so we're having trouble getting deliveries in Grand Isle. We also need help in Franklin County, and the further north you are in Franklin County, the more we need your help.
All right. Well, that's good to know. What about precautions you're taking to make sure volunteers and the people you're giving meals to are actually still staying safe?
Right. That's a great question. So under normal circumstances, the friendly visit is equally important as the meal delivery. But right now, we're not doing any face-to-face interactions between our volunteers and the clients. So the volunteers are leaving the meals in a bag that the client is hanging on their exterior doorknob, knocking loudly, and then going back to their car and waiting to make sure that the client gets their food, waving, saying hi out the window, but keeping safe physical distance at all times.
Hmm. What's available for older Vermonters or Vermonters who are homebound who may or may not need the meals delivered but might also need other assistance, whether it's somebody to do their grocery shopping or, you know, I know that there are medication delivery services, but maybe they need other things. Do you have advice for people who might need that kind of service?
I
good.
Do. I would say call our senior helpline, 1-800-642-5119. We absolutely can connect them to the help that they need, whether it's help that we can provide or whether it's help. We are working with organizations within, you know, all across the Northwest to figure out, so that we're not duplicating resources, who can help with what. So please call our senior helpline. We'll be happy to help figure out how to meet their needs.
And we do have links at vpr.org for people who want to volunteer for the Meals on Wheels program through AgeWell or who have needs. You know, Eric, I want to ask you one other question, though. You mentioned that there's no face-to-face or you know, in-person communication happening now between the Meals on Wheels volunteers and the people who are getting meals. And, you know, that's a service in and of itself. Company, talking, you know, being with people who might otherwise feel isolated. This is a real help to people and a real part of staying healthy and connected to be able to have human contact. Are you worried about isolation and loneliness?
So we are very much, I would say we're not worried because we're making a plan for it. So for all of our AgeWell clients who had friendly visiting volunteers, those volunteers have continued to visit over the phone instead of in person. And we have a whole bunch of our volunteers who are sitting at the ready, who are happy to start making daily phone calls and checking in on people. And we're putting that in place right now.
Well, that's good to hear, because I can imagine it would be difficult, you know, to feel like you've lost, if you're somebody who gets meals and gets company, to feel like you're still getting the meals, but you've lost what may feel just as important.
Yes, especially during this uncertain time.
Erica Marks is Director of Volunteer Services at AgeWell, one of Vermont's area agencies on aging. And we've been talking about Meals on Wheels and how the program has been affected by COVID-19, as well as precautions being put in place to slow the spread of the disease. Erica, thank you very much for talking with us. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Can I say one other quick thing?
Of course.
The other way that people can really help right now is that because there's an increasing number of people coming on Meals on Wheels, any donation that people are willing to make, they can do right through our website. We welcome any donations to help support our Meals on Wheels program.